Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
If our kids desire to go to college, we want to be in the absolute best position that we can be to help them. To help them with the whole college preparation and application process. In any way that they need us, we want to be in the position to help them. And that also includes funding or financing for college. And so we continue our discussion around college savings. Today, we're going to spend some time on the basics of the 529 College Savings Plan. We're going to talk about what it is and how to set up such an account. What are some of the options to setting up such an account? We will also briefly discuss how it may or may not impact your ability to receive financial aid. In addition, we're going to talk about the tax advantages, the good things about having a 529 college savings plan. And finally, we will discuss taking money out of the plan. When can you do it? For what reasons? What would be the impact? Those are all very important things. And so a 529 college savings plan it's a savings vehicle that allows families to save for qualified higher education expenses. And I don't think I've said the word. It is also a tax-advantaged savings plan, savings vehicle. So it allows your family to save for qualified higher education expenses. Now, before we move on, we must say that under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, up to $10,000 can be used of the 529 plan per year, $10,000 per year and per student. It can be used for K through 12 tuition expenses. And so those funds can be treated as what we call a qualified means good distribution. If those funds, if you took money out to pay for either public tuition, private tuition, or religious tuition at an elementary or secondary school. So for example, if you have children in private college, you have a son in the fifth grade, and you have a daughter in the seventh grade, and maybe you even have a son in high school, and they are all in private colleges, then you could use up to $10,000 per child for their tuition. So for example, the first child that's in the fifth grade, so let's say that child's private school for the fifth grade, the tuition is $6,500. And let's say you pulled $7,500 out for that child. Well, the amount that is qualified is only the $6,500, because that's the amount of the tuition, because you pulled out an additional $1,000. So that's considered a non-qualified withdrawal or distribution. And that excess will then be subject to taxes. So if your second child, who's in the seventh grade in private school, that child's tuition is $9,000, and you pulled out of the 529 plan $9,000, then all the $9,000 is qualified and zero is non-qualified. No issue there. In the third scenario, your high school student, his or her tuition is $18,000. And you pulled $18,000 out of the 529 plan to pay for that high school student's tuition, $18,000. Well, the qualified amount is $10,000. Why? Is because the maximum that you can pull out to pay for any student's tuition in any one year is $10,000. So when you pulled $18,000 out for that high school student, you exceeded that by $8,000. And so that $8,000 is considered non-qualified and would be subject to taxes. So the 529 College Savings Plan is a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful savings vehicle because it has so many advantages to it and allows for families to have tax savings that we will now move into talking about, as well as just to have funds available for post-secondary, elementary, as well as college. Now, from an operational standpoint, how do you set up an account? Well, it's pretty easy. So the main thing you've got to think about is whether or not you're going to select a 529 plan in your state. Okay? Whether or not you're going to invest basically in your state's plan. Most, but not all, states offer a state 529 college savings plan. But some states do not offer a plan. So if you live in a state that does not offer a plan, then if you want to have a state plan, then you can certainly open up a plan in another state. And that may be your wisest course here. Now, the other option is you can also invest through an advisor. Invest in a 529 through an advisor. It's basically called an advisor sold plan. And in that case, you would invest with a broker who would then manage the investments within the 529 college savings plan. So there are options there. But the most important thing to keep in mind is that if your state does offer a 529 savings plan, college savings plan, more than likely there are tax advantages, tax savings that are offered at the state level for you. You might ask the question, what if my child doesn't end up using the funds that I've saved in the 529 college savings plan? For whatever reason, your child may end up with a 100% scholarship, or decided that they would not go to college. So what happens to that money? What are your options? So if those funds won't be needed, then The Internal Revenue Service has rules that will allow another member of your family to be designated as the beneficiary. Okay? And family is a very, very broad term that is used for this purpose. Beneficiaries can be changed once every 12-month period for the plan. So once again, family carries a pretty broad definition. So what are some, or who are some qualifying family members that then can be designated as the new beneficiary? Well, the original beneficiary spouse, the designated beneficiary's son or daughter, stepson or stepdaughter, brother, sister, stepbrother or stepsister, father or mother, stepfather or mother, the designated beneficiary's niece or nephew, aunt or uncle. So as you can see, it's very broad, and there are a number of people that can be designated as a beneficiary if your child, who was the original beneficiary of the plan, will not need those funds. So let's move to the financial aid aspects, or the impact of having a 529 college savings plan. How does that impact financial aid for your child? This is good news. 529 college savings plans are excellent in this area. In general, these plans are considered the assets of the parents and are therefore considered more favorably than the assets of the students. When we say more favorably, we mean when those who are reviewing the financial aid application, they ask for, obviously, asset information for parents and asset information for students. And so when we talk about the parent assets, they are considered to be at a lower rate and with more certain allowances provided. Basically, good. It's a good thing. Student assets are assessed at a higher rate and no allowance protections. What all that means is that the more assets that a student has, the less financial aid, or the less favorable it would be for the financial aid decisioning. Once again, the more assets that a student has, the less favorable it would be for the financial aid decisioning. And so the 529 college savings plan is considered parent assets. Okay, so they are assessed as parent assets for financial aid purposes. So distributions from those plans are, and also they are not taken into consideration for financial aid purposes. So let's say you had to take a $10,000 distribution from the 529 plan in the first year of your child's college education. Well, that $10,000 is not going to be considered income, untaxed income, when the financial aid folks are evaluating for year two the financial aid package. Okay, so it would not negatively, a distribution would not negatively impact the student's aid eligibility. So that's very, very, very good news. So as we see so far, the 529 college savings plan is available in many, many states. They are state-sponsored plans, as well as you can also open those accounts at many banks and other institutions and utilize your investment broker, etc. So there's a lot of options as to operationally how to open such an account. And number two, such a plan does not negatively impact financial aid decisioning for your child. So now let's talk about the tax advantages. Now, I will preface this to say, once again, this is not considered tax advice or planning or anything. These are general considerations. One of the biggest advantages of using a 529 college savings plan is that the investments, monies that you put in the plan, they can grow, right? Just like any other investments. You can earn money on your investments, but they can grow tax deferred, number one. And then down the line, they can also eventually, you're going to need to use the money, withdraw the money tax free if those funds are used to pay for qualified education expenses. So some examples of qualified education expenses include tuition, room and board, fees, books and supplies, and the broad category of technology and equipment. So far we saw two things: the monies that you put in would be invested and can grow, so those earnings would be tax deferred. And when you pull money out to pay for qualified education expenses, those would not be taxed. Those dollars you'd pull out generally would not be taxed. Now let's talk about room and board expenses. Room and board expenses are considered qualified higher education expenses if your child is, or if the student, because it may not be your child, is enrolled at least half time, okay? At least half time at school. And the expenses are paid directly to the college, with an exception for students living off campus, okay? So room and board paid directly to the college would be covered. And as long as that student is attending school half time. Now, if your student chooses to live off campus, they can still use the 529 funds to pay for their off campus housing. But any amounts that is used that exceed what it would have cost the college room and board estimate would not be considered qualified. So for example, if your student pulls out $15,000 to pay housing expenses to live off campus, but on campus costs $13,000, then the $2,000 would then not be considered qualified higher education expenses, okay? And the earnings portion of that $2,000, and we won't go into a lot of detail, but there's a principal portion of the two and an earnings portion of the two. The earnings portion could be subject to, or would be subject to, taxes and could be subject to a 10% penalty. So it's the main thing, it's very important to understand what the expenses are and try to, if at all possible, to make sure that your distributions are all qualified higher education expenses. Another tax advantage is that 33 states and the District of Columbia allows for income tax deductions for the contributions or qualified contributions that are made to the 529 plans up to a certain limit. So if you contribute to a 529 college savings plan, when you file your state income tax return, if your state does have this tax deduction, you could potentially get a tax deduction for the amount that you contributed for the year up to the state's limit. So for example, in the state of Georgia, contributions, 529 college savings plan contributions for the year are deductible up to $8,000 per year for married joint filers. $8,000 deduction and a $4,000 deduction for all others. So that's pretty significant. So when you think about it, the 529 college savings plans offer somewhat you might consider a triple tax benefit, because the contributions can be partially deductible at the state level. The contributions can grow tax deferred, and the money can be pulled out tax-free for obviously qualified college expenses. That is excellent. So let's talk about investments. So from an investment standpoint, 529 college savings plans are about average or a little bit above average in terms of an investment vehicle. So investment options are going to be different from plan to plan, depending on where your plan is. Your plan may be in the state of Connecticut, the state of Georgia, or at a bank. So it could be a state plan, or it could be at a an investment house or a bank or whatever that it may be. So those investment options will vary, but most of those investment options consist of mutual funds and some type of age-based mutual fund portfolios, okay? Just be aware that some plans offer limited individual investment options. Also keep in mind that you can only invest in what the plan provides. You cannot choose alternate or individual investments such as IBM stock or some mutual fund if they are not already provided within the plan. So the plan is whether it's the Georgia Path to College 529 plan, they have certain investment options. They've got a pool of things that you can select from. And that is what you can select from. You can't say, hey, I want to invest in IBM stock if IBM stock is not one of them. But most of it is mutual funds. So just keep in mind that those investments do grow tax deferred. So let's talk about who can you distribute the monies to when you pull out funds to use for your child's college? Those funds can be distributed to three parties: to the beneficiary, and in this case, in most cases, it may be the child, your children, the owner of the account, or the college itself, the qualified educational institution. Ideally, distribution should be made either to the beneficiary or the account owner, with a preference being for the beneficiary, okay? Because it's pretty common for families to overdraw from the 529 plan, meaning some of the scenarios we talked about before. So for example, drawing more than the maximum $10,000 if this is for high school tuition, or there's other scenarios where you've drawn money that ended up not being qualified educational expenses. So the bottom line is that if the distribution is given to the beneficiary, which is likely your child, at your child's age, your child's tax rate is likely going to be lower than your tax rate. So if there are taxable withdrawals where they were not qualified or you overdrew, then the impact of that would be a little less if those funds had been given to the child, because the child's tax rate is likely lower than the adult. So what if you do withdraw too much money? Can you do something about it without having a tax impact? Well, there are options. The 529 college savings plan owners are given two options if you mistakenly take out too much money in any given year. Two options are this. You can take and deposit those excess funds into another 529 plan for that same beneficiary within 60 days. So if your child, John, you took too much money out and you don't want to have a tax impact, then you can pay that back into another plan for John. Or you can, number two, second option, is you can deposit the excess funds into another 529 plan for a different beneficiary within 60 days. The bottom line is another 529 plan within 60 days would be the thing that you'd need to do in order to avoid a tax impact of withdrawing too much. And finally, consider a couple of tips on the first is on the timing. You need to consider the proper timing of pulling out monies from the plan. There's a general rule of thumb, and that is that distributions or monies pulled out should occur generally in the same tax year that the college expenses actually incur. So if your tuition for the fall term of 2021 is $20,000, you get your tuition bill in August and it's $20,000, and you pull out $20,000 from the 529 plan and pay it. So you had a distribution of 20 and an expense of 20, all in the same year, this year, let's say in this upcoming fall. But let's say for the spring term 2022, you get the bill for the spring term in December. You take the $20,000 out of the 529 plan also in December. But you end up paying the spring bill in January of 2022. Now you have the actual expense in 2022, but you took the money out in 2021. Do you understand what I'm saying? So essentially, you need to try to get, don't take the money out earlier than it's than need be. When you get to the end of any calendar year, you need to be considering the timing of the expenses. The bottom line is that the distributions should occur in the same tax year that the expenses are actually incurred. So if you know you're going to pay it in 2022, you should be pulling the money out in 2022. Otherwise, you could be considered as having overdrawn in 2021, and that $20,000 now would be non-qualified, and that is not what you want. So, in summary, the 529 College Savings Plan is a very powerful and helpful vehicle to use to fund for your loved ones' college savings. And so, if at all possible, you can avail yourself of this tool, please do so. It is never too early. If your child is 6 months old, that is a good time. If your child is 6 years old, that is a good time. The earlier, the better, because you'll look up and 5, 10, 15 years down the road, you will have amassed a pretty significant amount if you consistently contribute to the plan. And of course, allowing or being able to take advantage of the tax advantages that are afforded for such plans. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Basic Money Matters, where we take the complicated financial parts of your life and your business and make it easy to understand. Our episodes also are heard on and aired on 103.5 Hindsight Media Radio Network, where there is always something good to listen to.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters Show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.